Think about that song, and I think of people that are here. I look out on the congregation, and I realize that sin has hurt so many lives. We have hurting people here. They've been hurt by sin, and they still feel those hurts in physical ways and in emotional ways and in spiritual ways. And I think about the nail-pierced hand, not scarred. He's saying it right, pierced. And that flesh is going to be ever a reminder that sin requires hurt and pain and suffering to pay for it. And he was the one that did that. And then the Bible said he was whipped in his back, and his back was lacerated and open wounds. And it says, by those whiplashings we are healed, and he will heal you of your hurt. You don't have to live as a victim and all your life be unforgiving and hateful towards somebody that hurt you because of sin. But you can forgive as he forgave us and be cleansed and then be healed. And I appreciate that song and that thought this morning. You know, I want to read a verse of scripture in Ecclesiastes 3, just verse 1, and please follow. It says, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Do you notice that? There are two things there in that verse. There's to everything, there's a season, and there also is a time. I can't help but think of a singing group when I was growing up called the Four Seasons, a group out of New Jersey. How many have heard of the Four Seasons? And, you know, there are four seasons. There is the springtime, followed by the summertime, followed by the fall time, sorry, and then the winter time. And, you know, those seasons each last 3 months apiece. Now, you may or may not know this, but we just entered a new season this past Thursday at 4:51 p.m. And that season is called summer solstice. And you say, well, what is that? Well, for the northern hemisphere, from the equator up to where we are and beyond, to the North Pole, it's when the North Pole is tilted the closest to the sun to receive the direct rays of the sun, and that brings about summer weather and some of the heat that you've been experiencing. I don't know about you, but I went out visiting yesterday, and all I could say is, it's hot. I went into some houses, like Marilla, looking for relief, and I just got a fan blowing hot air around. but it is very hot. And thank God the Brother Steve kept that air conditioner going, man, because we're getting a little relief here. But it's still summertime, amen? And it is hot. But that's why. Because we've entered into summer solstice. And you can have my permission to turn around and look at Marie Kresge. She's fanning. And because of that, you see these fans out, right? It's summer solstice. That's why. And summer and winter are at when the tilt of the pole is nearest the summer or farthest in the winter, tilts back. So as it goes around, it tilts back, that's winter. It tilts forward, that's summer, as far as the northern hemisphere is concerned, where we live. Now, that is talking about the seasons. There are four seasons, okay? June through September is September, whatever it is, 21st or whatever, that's summer. Fall is September 21st through December 21st, shortest day of the year, and that's fall. And then winter, December 21st through March 21st, it happens on the 20th, it turns to the equinox. Now, what is the equinox? The equinox is when it's just like that, straight up. So neither hemisphere gets more direct rays of the sun. So it's equally the same. It's not tilted away like winter, not tilted forward like summer, but right equal. And so you get 3 months of spring. And we've been enjoying the spring weather. Now, I was talking to my secretary, Ms. Sukowski, and we were talking about water wars. And I said, I would like to do water wars. And we were having a warm day. It was a nice day. And I said, we could do water wars next week. She said, no, the weather's going to be cold. And I said, well, check it out. Checked it out. Yeah, she was right. The weather was cold. And that's what happens in the spring. How many of you know that spring gets warm and then cold? And, you know, it's very unpredictable, you know. It's up and down and back and forth. But it's a nice time, you know, the equinox. But those cold days, you don't want water wars. In other words, having water wars in the late spring on the wrong day is not appropriate. So it's not the season for water wars like we're going to do. The season to have water wars is now. Don't people want to get in the water? You know, we're going to help you chill out today. If you come up there, you'll be able to chill out. And that is the times and the seasons. In other words, the season is this period of time for 3 months, spring, summer, winter, fall, and the time is special events that you have during that time. For instance, we have water wars today. We have the 4th of July coming up. Now, if you come up to my house in January around my birthday, you're not going to want to have 4th of July picnic outside. It's really whole different up there. You're not going to want to plant a garden up there. No, you want to get inside where it's warm, or bundle up and build a snowman or something, but be warm. And it's a total different season. And so it's not the time for a 4th of July picnic. You see, what Ecclesiastes is saying here, there is a time and a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. In other words, God put seasons in your life. And he mentions them here in Ecclesiastes. He puts these seasons in your life. In fact, let's read about it. Look at verse 2 through verse 8. I'll read it. You follow. It says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up. Well, when do we plant? Well, we plant in the spring. By the way, you want to plant a garden now? I think it's a little too late. I'm not a gardener, even though my last name is Bloom. I'm not good at it. But you know, that the time to plant would have been toward the end of May, right in there, right? End of May for northeastern PA. Am I right or am I right? I think so. All right. So, but it gets too late. So you've got to know the seasons. And there are seasons and there are times that God has in our lives. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. You say, time to kill? Are you kidding me? You believe in capital punishment? The Bible does. Yeah, the Bible does. There is such a thing as capital punishment. By the way, there is such a thing as death for all of us. And the second death, a time to kill. And a time to heal. A time to have peace and just out. End of World War II. And a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. It wouldn't be good to be laughing at a funeral. That's not the season. It's time to mourn. It wouldn't be good to laugh at somebody that's going through a real heavy, hard time. That's when you put your arm around them and you show, you feel with them. So a time to mourn, a time to so forth, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones. Israel danced for joy after they went through the Red Sea. They jumped and praised God. Time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from. You know, sometimes you move and you get rid of stuff and time to get a new house. It's a different time. And so all of these are times and seasons of our lives that God puts into our life. And the name of my message today is you can use times and seasons to serve God. In fact, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3:11, it says, he hath made everything, get this, beautiful in his time. See, it's beautiful in the winter sometimes when you're out there making a snowman or going to lights and seeing the lights and seeing the snow. But that wouldn't be good on the 4th of July. That just wouldn't fit, you know. So everything, God hath made everything beautiful in his time. After man sinned and after the flood, God set up the seasons. And we've been having them ever since. And here at SRBC, I want you to know, we schedule times during certain seasons and we call them big days. And we try to fit in with the season to have a big day and to help people come to church. Like some of you young people. I was out yesterday. I didn't see you, but I'm glad you came. Yashiel. But I was out in your place, you know, around your area, and I saw kids. I saw Melly and kids that were there, and I was there. And I said, hey, come out and help us win the water wars. You got to help out on Matthew's bus to beat that bad Jose Valley and Diane Payone's bus and Brother Z's bus. And, you know, I tried to get it stirred up. Well, it was hot. But we had something that was appropriate. I said, you want to come and chill out? We got it. Now that was a good thing to have that for a big day during summer. Maybe not during spring, certainly not during winter. You wouldn't want water wars. But what's our purpose for it? Our purpose is God's purpose. You are here today, whether you're a believer or not a believer, whether you know you're saved or not, you're here for a purpose. God has ordained everything. The season, summer, the time, this water work, it's all pre-planned. You say, do you believe in predestined? In that sense, yes. God pre-planned everything. There's nothing by accident. You are here for a purpose. And it's for you and for me to help you to find out that purpose. And so you are here this morning, and your goal should be, listen to me now, your goal should be not to find out what your wife's purpose is for you today, not to find out what your husband's purpose is for you today, not to find out what your friend's purpose is today, not to find out what this man's purpose or that, but to find out what God's purpose is. That is a successful life. And you know, I give you for instance, many years ago, I went to Florida and I decided I liked Florida. I wanted to get a suntan. I wanted to work outside, and I had a job offered where I could put in water sprinkler systems underground and work outside in Florida, get a nice suntan, you know, and be healthy. And I had zits, so it would get rid of my zits. I was about 19 then, but they were going down anyway. But anyway, I wanted to go to Florida for all those reasons and make money. Because I was in college, I wanted to make money so I could go back to college, to Bible college. But when I went there, I went to a church called Emmanuel Baptist Church where my college dorm mate went. I stayed with him. And I went to a church and this very friendly girl came up to me, a college girl, Cedarville College girl. And she came up to me. She said, oh, I want to welcome you to Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's so good to have you here. Now, she was just being friendly, trying to help out a guy that was just a visitor from off the street or whatever. She didn't know I was studying for the ministry. I was a Bible college student. I didn't tell her either. I just made her, try to be friendly. But little did I know, I was meeting my future wife, Kathy Eileen Leeser. And she, little did she know, or she would have run, that she was meeting her future husband. Didn't know that. And so, that's Darian's little one there, right? I saw him yesterday when I was at Marilla's. He's a cute little guy. But that's what I found out. And God had a purpose. You need to realize that when you're doing certain things, God has a purpose behind what you're doing. I think of this guy right here. He came to our church with his family on different occasions, but there came a day when he came for a big day we had, and it was Carnival Sunday, right? Carnival Sunday. And his bus captain, Brother Greg, brought him home, and Brother Greg shared with him on that. Now, he came to have fun at Carnival Sunday, but he came to share with him, are you really saved? Well, he felt like, I'm a Christian. I'm brought up in a Christian home. I've always believed that Jesus Christ is real and God is real and the Bible is real. But he personally had not been saved by Jesus. And he realized it. And after Brother Greg left and shared that, he went up into his room. And that Carnival Sunday, over there in West Scranton on Snyder Avenue, he got saved. You see? There's a beautiful timing. You may think you're here for one reason, but God has his purpose in you being here. And that's what you need to hone in on and to find out what God's purpose is for you being here, because everything has that purpose, and you are here this morning with that purpose. So this is my sermon. You can use times and seasons to serve the Lord. And I want to say three quick things about that. Number one, by your seasons of preparation for production. Now don't miss this. By your season of preparation for production. Here's what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 1, verse 3. He says, and he, that is the godly person, the productive person, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, isn't that cool? You got a tree there, it's evergreen. You've got a tree there that has a good system of roots, and it's always green. It's always productive. I like it when a Christian is like that. Always green, not dry, not unproductive. Really coming to know the Lord more and more and have fresh testimonies of God's working in their life. You know, I was encouraged. I went to church in Holland, Michigan, and I didn't preach. I didn't give the offering. I didn't do anything except sit in the pew with my wife. And the pastor of the church, of course, he knows how to encourage. Pastor of the church said to me, he said, your spirit was so good. It was so good to have you in the service. It just lifted the service. And I thought, wow, you know, that's what I want to be. I want to be a blessing, whether I'm doing something up front or not. And so I'm just saying to you, there are believers that are always like that. They always have a good spirit. They always have an excellent spirit. I like to say I do, but I don't. But I'd like to have that more and more. And God wants you to be that kind of a fruit tree. Now, let me say something to you. It takes time for you to be a fruit tree. It takes time for a tree to grow. I went to Michigan and we had a Father's Day picnic in the backyard. Brooke and her husband Daniel and their three kids were there. Mindy was there and my wife and my mom were there and I was there. And we celebrated Daniel as a father and me as a grandfather and as a father. And we had a nice time, you know, having a picnic in the backyard there. But Daniel was asking me about the tree. He said, this big, huge willow tree is there. He's got a daughter named Willow. And the tree was huge. And he said, man, do you remember anything about this tree? I said, yeah, I said, there's a big argument who planted it. I say I planted it. My brother says he planted it. But anyway, but I remember cutting the grass and you'd have to watch out or you'd run that tree over and it would be done. Now if you ran into that tree with a mower, you'd be killing yourself. It's humongous. And there was another tree in the other part of the lawn, same thing. You'd run it over. It was an evergreen tree. It was just like huge. Well, it shows how old I am. Amen, Brother Joe. But it takes time to grow a tree. Can I say something? It takes time for you to grow to be a tree-like believer, a fruit tree-like believer, that birds can, you know, fly into your branches, and that people can get shade under you, and kids can climb that tree, and it can produce fruit, and it takes time. But the sad thing is that a lot of believers don't give it the time to stay planted in a good place. They don't stay planted in a good place, and so they don't grow and develop. I think of Brother Matt McWhorter. He's here today. Brother Matt, right up here. And I appreciate Brother Matt. He's a young man, single young man. And I remember when Brother Matt came here, he came and then left. He came and then left and came the third time to stay. And I challenged Brother Matt. I said, you know, you've been going around to different churches since he got saved before he came here, but he'd just been going around different churches. I said, you need to just get locked in a good place, and you need to stay put. And you know what? He took that challenge, and he did that. And I have seen God working in Brother Matt's life. And every day isn't a shower of blessing day. There are days when you don't have that. But he's got his roots into the Lord and into the Bible. And he is being, he's taking the time to prepare so that he can do even more for God. And because he's done that and put the time in prayer, put the time in the Word, been to Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, consistently, he's now teaching a Sunday school class, a challengers class. And Brother Steve, I heard you guys had a great trip down there to Knoebels. And I just got a picture of it. Bobby Brack was showing me his picture going down the road. And he does such a great job in Sunday school. I hear so many good reports about his teaching. They love his class.
Amen.
And he's a bus captain. And he can be relied on. I'm one of his bus workers. And I just share things with him, and he takes care of me. I do some work, and he takes care of me. And he's the boss. He's the bus route. I'm one of his workers. But he's a faithful, faithful individual. He teaches gym in our Christian school. Whatever he does, it's productive, and it's because he's taken the time to plant and stay planted. And, you know, I think of Bobby Bajeski, Deacon Bobby. He preached Wednesday on fruit trees. Great message. Fruit trees. And all the problems he's had taking care of fruit trees. And I understand that. Not because I do what I should do with my fruit trees. I'm horrible with them. I'm not like Brother Bob. He's great with them. But I like to think I know something about people. Remember, the man said, when he got healed, he said, I see men as trees. And Jesus had to heal him again because I think he healed him too far. Because really, that's how people are. They're trees. But he had to dial it back a little bit. And have them just see people as people. But spiritually, you are a fruit tree. And I want to work with you. I'm thinking of Brother Jose, who just sang, Jose Valley. He's a bus captain. He's singing a soul. He's a Sunday school teacher. And I remember a time with Jose Valley. I told the youth pastor here, and he's had a good part in Jose's life. I told him, I said, you know, Brother Eric, what Jose needs is to get locked in. To get locked in. You know, you see some people, they're here one day and not here the next day. Here for a few Sundays, steady, 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 then not here for another. You need to get locked in. Some of you, God's speaking to you today, you need to get locked in so that you can be productive. And you say, well, Pastor, what about you? I've been locked in for 46 years here as a pastor. And I'm just saying to you that you can be productive if you get locked in, and God will bless your life. And so that's what it says. And notice in the Psalms, and I'll read to you Psalm 1 and verse 1. Here's what it says there in Psalm 1:1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, there is a time for preparation. This is the Super Bowl. We all come together. Amen. This is the time when God gets things done. But if I don't prepare myself, I'm not going to be ready for this time. Because the Bible says, Peter said, you can't help but speak the things you've seen and heard. If I'm spending all my time watching ungodly things on TV, spending all my time doing negative things on the computer, if I'm spending all my time looking at things in the world and lusting after the world, I'm not going to be ready for Sunday.
Right.
And you're going to have a man of God that's not going to be helpful and productive. And so it's important that you realize as a bus worker, as a Sunday school teacher, as a soul winner, as a believer, that you need to prepare yourself for times to produce for God. And when you're exposing yourself to things of the world that you're letting it in, you are cutting off your productivity. You are ruining your productivity and poisoning your productivity. And so notice what it says in verse 2 of Psalm 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do you read your Bible every day? Do you meditate in it throughout the day? You say, well, you know, that's not too exciting. Oh, but it's important. Do you listen to sermons? I like Diane Payon. She listens to sermons, then she listens to them over again, then listens to them over again. And she listens to her man of God. People listen to all these different preachers all over Robin Hood's barn, all over the internet. That's not going to help you to grow in your church. God set it up that you need to be under the man of God in the church. The angel of the church. Get a clue, buddy. You think you're smarter than God? And I'm not saying it's not a place for good fundamental men that have the same position. That's a good thing at a conference and so forth. We can benefit from that. But you need to be continually meditating in the Word of God. So why? So that you can be productive. And that's what it winds up with in verse 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. Notice that. In his season. There are times of taking in the Word of God. You need to do that. But there's also times of giving out the Word of God. You need to know when to listen and when to give it out. And there are those times. And there are people in the Bible that did that. Think of Joseph in the Old Testament. We studied him in Sunday school. He had that preparation time. And wow, he got these dreams that God gave him of the future. But then he went through the terrible disasters. But he didn't lose his meditation on God. He didn't get bitter. See, Satan wants you to get bitter. And what doesn't make you bitter will make you better. And he wants you to do like Joseph did. Take in the Word of God and then go through the disastrous times and keep your heart for God. And then he was brought out of prison to have a great role in Egypt. And he was ready for it. And God used him to feed the world of his day. Same thing with Moses. He had the same kind of preparation. And so I want to say you can use times and seasons in your life to serve the Lord. Number one, by your seasons of preparation for productivity, for production. Number two, by your seasons of pouring out of God's grace. And here's what it says in Deuteronomy 11, verse 14. It says that I will give you rain. I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Deuteronomy 11, 14. Now you say, what's that talking about? God's saying to Israel, listen, I will, you dwell in your land, you stay in your promised land. By the way, that land over there from the river of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River is the land of Israel. It's deeded by God to Israel, not the Palestinians. It's deeded by God to Israel. And so God said, you dwell in your land, and I will, if you stay put, I will give you the spring rains that will help things grow. I will give you the late summer rains that will help them finalize the harvest so that you can be productive. And you know what? There are people that would say, you know, in the early days of the church, the Holy Spirit was poured out and great power and great things were done. But we can't expect that in the latter days. Well, look, it says in the early rains and the latter rains. God does not change. You know our problem? We change. We change with the times. We go with the times. I'm not here to go with the times. I'm here to stay with God. And I claim the promises of God that He's going to pour out that blessing, and there are going to be times of revival in the church, refreshing in the church. Yeah, there are times, it's out of season. It's like 4th of July in the winter, and you're trying to give the gospel, and it's hard, it's difficult. I was giving the gospel to a lady. I was out visiting yesterday for Matt's route, and I saw a family, and I said, this is perfect. Here's a single lady. She's got kids. These are bus kids. They need my help. I'm going to go up and talk. And I offered myself to help. I showed what that bus offered and what this church. And you know what the lady said to me? She said, oh, I'm taking them to Catholic stuff. I'm doing the sacraments. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Oh, no, nobody can know that. I said, but the Bible says these things are written. You might know. I started talking to her about heaven and hell, and she was like, I don't want this. And then I said, well, listen, I said, I'm not better than you. She said, well, I could have thought so. You know, you're going to heaven. I said, well, I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. It's not me.
Amen.
I deserve to die and go to hell. But you know what? It was to her, she was closed. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't open hearts. That doesn't mean that God can't pour out a blessing. You know, I was talking to a lady with my wife in Michigan, a Jewish lady who's involved in the Hollywood industry. Her husband does Nickelodeon and all shows all over the world. And they're coming to church here because my son, my oldest son, told her. She's Jewish. He said, my dad used to preach on prophecy. I didn't really think he had it. You know, he wasn't saying the right thing. He said, but now, he's right. He's right about all that stuff he's been preaching. And so they're listening to him, and they're listening now to our messages. And she kept, so to speak, after me about talking to her. And she talked to us for about an hour over the phone. And God is pouring out something there. She's getting ready to get saved. And we need to realize there's a time to plant, there's a time to pray, and then there are seasons where God begins to pour out the blessing. You may not see it right away when you're investing, but if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit. Don't get discouraged. Don't plant a seed and then dig it up 2 days later. It will bring forth its fruit in its season, and there are seasons of the rain so that you can be productive. So let me say this, you can use these times and seasons that we have, that God has for you to serve the Lord by having seasons where you have preparation and then production. By seasons of pouring out, persevering until God pours out His grace with the latter rains. And then thirdly, and finally, by your seasons of salvation. Listen, by your seasons of salvation. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with Him, that's the Lord, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, what's he talking about there? We live in a wonderful day of grace. Do you know, the Bible says, this is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Do you know what that's talking about? It's not talking about a 24-hour day there in the context. Sometimes it is when it says day, sometimes it's not. There, he's talking about a season. We are in, right now, a season of grace. You say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? God is offering the world, not just the Jews, but the whole world. He's offering them that all your sins can be paid for. That you could have a home in heaven. That you can have all of that, listen to me, at Christ's expense, paid for by the Jewish Messiah. By what Hosea sang about. You say, well, what do I have to do to earn that? Nothing. You have to take everything out of your hand and throw away your money and say, no, I can't pay for this. Lord, I receive it by faith. Thank you. You simply believe His promise. And you're saved, for by grace He is saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. It's a free gift. Have you received that free gift? Or are you like 95% or more people, Brother Joe, they're trying to earn their way. They're trying to deserve to get to heaven. And this is a season right now of salvation. Now, when I was in Michigan, we had, you know, Father's Day, and you had Father's Day here last week. You got those mugs, right? How many of you got mugged last week? Okay. You got mugged. I got mugged, but I got it later. But when I was out there, I said we had our Father's Day celebration. We had a Father's Day dinner. But while this was going on and they were sharing funny things that happened to them from me and from Daniel, and then nice things, you know, impactful things. And it was nice. And we got gifts and all that. But I said, everything in this life comes to pass. You know, the Bible says it comes to pass. This day, it'll come to pass. There's nothing here that stays. It just keeps coming to pass. But the rich man, when he died and went to hell, it said it came to pass. He was in hell. But hell doesn't come to pass. Amen?
Right.
Once you're there, you're there forever.
Right.
That's why I don't understand why people are so crazy to put all their time in something that's not going to last. And not invest in eternity by accepting the Lord as your personal Savior. And so that's what it's saying here. It's saying, we beseech you, we plead with you, don't receive the grace of God in vain. That means God is offering you, whoever you are, because it's offered to every man, woman, and child that hears it. You could have your sins forgiven. You could be saved if you receive it as a free gift from the Lord. If you haven't done that, you need to do that. Now, some people, they don't want to hear it like that lady on Matt's route. Also, I think of a couple. You and I talked about it on Matt's route. I reached out to them. Matt reached out to them. And we both told them what the Bible said. And they didn't like what we told them. See, they wanted to live together, not be married, not be reconciled to a mate or anything. Just live together in fornication. And we said, the Bible says, don't do that. Unless you have a covenant of marriage before God and witnesses, you're not to be living together and sharing God's gift of marriage act. And yet they didn't like that. And they said, oh, we're not going to go to that church. We don't want to hear that man. And Matt said the same thing I said. You see, it's not Matt, it's not me, it's the Word of God. But people, not everybody wants that. And so what people will do is they will reject the offer of God's grace. He says, listen, accept that you're a sinner. Accept that you will die and go to hell. But then you can accept that I graciously paid for that sin to offer anybody in the world that will receive it, the gift of eternal life. And you're being offered that today, on this Sunday. And this Sunday will come and go, just like his Sunday came and went, but he's still here. You see the difference? Will you still be here because you got saved? And then 2 Corinthians 6:2, the next verse says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, that's helped thee, aided thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, the time to get saved is right today.
Amen.
But even beyond that, it's right this moment, right now.
Amen.
You say, well, I'll put it off till tonight or tomorrow. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, used to say, hey, think about my message and come back tomorrow, and if you want to get saved, you can get saved. Then one night, he dismissed the people, and they died in the Chicago fire. And he said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to give them the opportunity to get saved right now. Some of you, you know God is knocking at the door of your heart. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He's got holes in his hands that Jose sang about.
Yay.
And he's offering you that all your sins can be forgiven. Why wouldn't you accept that offer? You say, well, I want to live my life. I don't want him getting involved. How stupid. How temporary. Now is the day. Now is the time. And so he is saying you can use times and seasons in your life, and this is the time or the season of your salvation. It's both the season and the time, I could say, of your salvation. Also, by your seasons of pouring out of God's grace, you can persevere, and you'll have those times where others can get blessed and saved. And then by your seasons of preparation and repeated production, you can benefit from times and seasons. May God help you to do it. Let's bow for prayer this morning, and every head bowed and every